Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, are you ready for the football?
Baby, just win, baby. Feel the storm of the cold autumn wind, baby. It's the Oakland Raiders, get your mouthpiece. You in the black hole with the black beast. This ain't black gold, this is black silver. Commitment to excellence, we deliver. And we'll play past regulation. It's the invasion of the Raider Nation.
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, are you ready for the football?
Raider Nation is united. When they see them pirates, fans get excited.
Get excited.
The opposition get quiet. When I hit the field with my eye patch and my shield, the silver and black will attack, will attack.
Are you ready for some football?
The silver and black will attack,
will attack.
Are you ready for some football?
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go.
It made me a real football fan.
the National Football League. Okay, Friday night. Friday night lights. The Dodgers, Los Angeles Dodgers, say goodbye to Vince Scully. Vince Scully passed away this past week at 94 years old. The voice of the LA Dodgers. And Vince Scully worked until he was 89 years old. How do you do that? But Vince Scully did that. We give our condolences to the LA Dodgers and the Dodger family in the passing of Vince Scully. Major League Baseball, the Giants and the A's are off. They play today in Oakland in the Coliseum for the Babe Ruth Series Part 2. Part 2, teams are going in different directions. The A's are 30 games out. The Giants are 20 games out. But the A's have won 8 of 13. The Giants have lost 15 of 17. Different directions. The Giants are going to have to do something with their infield because their infield stinks. This is the worst infield I've seen in many, many years. In Oracle Park. I don't know what's going on with the Giant management, but this is the worst team I've seen in many, many years in Giants history. The Yankees are traveling to St. Louis in a big three-game series with St. Louis Cardinals. The Cardinals are trying for the wild card in the National League. They win last night 4-3. Milwaukee bobs the Reds with 5-1. The Braves beat the Mets going into the weekend series 1-1 with 3 games to go. They have a doubleheader today. The first game, the Mets are winning now, 3-0 the first game. The second game will be at 4:15 Pacific Time. 4:15 Pacific Time at 7:15 East Coast Time. The Mets will play the Braves in a doubleheader. Second game at 4:15. NBA, the Nets still have center Kevin Durant, and the summer comes to a close. Nobody wants Kevin Durant, and because of the age, 34, I think his days are numbered in the NBA. He's just staying in Oakland while he had a chance. He would have got 2 more rings. Instead, he went his own team, and there you are in Brooklyn with a dysfunctional team. WNBA, the Chicago Sky split with the Washington Mystics over the weekend. They won Friday night 93-83. Washington Dream sweep the Los Angeles Sparks. 88-86 is a great game. Howard gets 28 points. WTA, Emma Raducanu beats Washington to reach the quarterfinals of New York in the City Open. VGA, the Wyndham Classic was delayed for weather and started at 9 a.m. Pacific Time this morning with Brandon Wu, the American Chinese, leading the South Korean Ju Young Kim as they go into round 3 today. LPGA, South Korean E.G. Nation. Leeds will turn around at AIG Open in Scotland. Over Finland's Zagdrum and South African Bua by one stroke as they go into round three today. As I said earlier today, Raider Nation can be proud as Cliff Branch enters the Hall of Fame today. Formula One, there will be no Formula One for 3 weeks. They will have a 3 week vacation. The next race will be the last week in August of Formula One. And still, Hamilton has not won a race this season as the Mercedes-Benz team is in third place behind the Red Bull team and the Ferrari team. I think this year Mercedes will have to sit down and recalculate their cars because Red Bull and Ferrari have just blown them out of water this year. Russell and Hamilton did the best they could, but they need to work and they might lose the Constructors' Cup. The first time they lose the Constructors' Cup in 8 years. It's been 8 years since Mercedes-Benz has not lost the Constructors' Cup. This will be the first year in Miami. We got 8 races left. The last race will be in November. Second week in November. They got a lot of work to do. We're going to take a break here, and when I come back, we're going to talk a little politics. And when I come back, all right, take a break, and we'll be back.
Where the eagle flies, the coyote calls, and the water falls. Listen to the wind and then begin to feel within the wisdom and the vision of American Indians. Into the sky, where the eagle flies, the coyote calls, and the water falls. Listen to the wind and then begin to feel within the wisdom and the vision of American Indians. Before the Europeans settled these American lands, the people already lived here. Do you understand? They roam the beautiful woodlands and mountains and sands that span a thousands of years, and their legend still stands. Way back in the Ice Age when glaciers froze, they crossed into Alaska, that's how the story goes. The tribes of the Northeast skillfully used bark from birch trees to build big canoes. Surviving for gifts within the lakes and land, using stairs to fish and planting corn by hand. Iroquois to Delaware, Hopewell to Fox, just a few tribes from a region with lots. Down in the southeast with luscious and fertile soil, tribes learn to farm out in the sun, they toil. It's like the complex societies with rulers so royal. There were builders and artisans, the knowledge of medicine. The Seminoles were proud, the neighbors played frost. There was a Creek, Choctaw, Cherokee, and Chickasaw. The Crow, Blackfeet, and Dakota, home on the range. Nomadic tribes that roam the Great Plains. In order to survive, they hunted the buffalo. Shot stone tips, arrows at a distance with the bow. From buffalo skins, they made teepees and canopies. They tribe warriors to protect from enemies.
These are the skies where the eagle flies, the coyote calls, and the water falls. To the wind and then begin to feel within the wisdom and the vision of American Indians. Into the sky where the eagle flies, the coyote calls, and the water falls. Listen to the wind and
wounded and begin to feel within the wisdom and the vision of American Indian.
In the southwest for Clay Holmes, known as Quay Lowe's, the Zuni and the Hopi were the tribes who made those. They dressed in big masks and danced and performed, asking spirits called Kachinas for a harvest of corn. For beautifully woven patterns, we looked at the Navajo. Apaches had the brave warrior Geronimo.
From the high plateau down through the Great Basin, tribes like the Ute survived through migration. Preparing for cold winters, some were found building earth-covered houses that were part underground. Horses and bones, skins and hemp were traded with tribes from the plains for roads that parade.
To the rainy northwest where the totem pole stood, these were memorials to ancestors carved out of wood. Wealthy families had ways to show signs of success, hosting lavish potlatches, giving gifts to their guests. They hunted large sea animals with nets and harpoons, and lived in long houses which had one long room.
Over time, Europeans moved into tribal regions. Sometimes they fought war, sometimes they formed allegiance. Then dark clouds rained down upon the Trail of Tears. Tribes were forced west from where they lived for years. This song is a tribute to just reflect upon today, American Indians continue on.
These are the skies where the eagle flies, the coyote calls and the waterfalls. Listen to the wind and then begin to feel within the wisdom and the vision of American Indians. These are the skies where the eagle flies, the coyote calls and the waterfalls. Listen to the wind and then begin to feel within the wisdom and the vision of American Indians.
Everybody, and a very pleasant Saturday to you. Couldn't resist that. There is a picture that they just showed a moment ago, and it shows Jackie Robinson and Vin Scully poised to race on ice skates. And it was the end of my first year, and the Dodgers had asked me to go to Grossinger's, a well-known resort hotel in the Catskill Mountains in New York. And being a kid, having grown up with the snow and the ice in New York, I had a great pair of skates. I was a pretty good skater. Jackie and Rachel arrived at almost the same time. And Jackie looked at me and he said, "Oh, you're going to go skating?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'll go with you." I said, "Great." And then Rachel said, "Well, I'll go too." Rachel was 7 months pregnant. We tried to talk her out of it, but just like Jackie, her mind was set. She was going to go ice skating. So Jackie and I go into the dressing room. We're putting on the skates, my big long racer blades, really hot dog stuff back then. And as we're lacing things up, Jack said, "When we get out there, I'll race you." I said, "Wow, Jack." I said, "You're from Southern California. I know you're a great athlete, but I didn't know you ice skated." And he said, "I've never been on skates in my life." I said, "Well, wait a minute." I said, "I'm not a great skater, but I can certainly beat someone who's never been on skates in his life." And Jackie got very serious and said, "Yes, but that's how I'll learn." The competitive spirit would drive him to learn. Meanwhile, talking about competitive spirit, my heart was in my mouth. Not because of Jackie, but I look out on the ice And here she comes, Rachel, 7 or 8 months pregnant, and the whole place is terrified except her. She is absolutely having a wonderful time. And unless my chronology is wrong, that small baby in her tummy at the time was Sharon, who was born in 1950. Now I have one other story. I've told this story before, but come to think of it, I've told every story before. But I'd like to hear it again, if you don't mind. Jackie Robinson. It was back about 1950, maybe 51, not more than that. And Jackie, who had received other threatening letters, apparently received one that was deadly serious and impressed the authorities. We were in Cincinnati for a weekend series to play at Crosley Field. The letter intimated the deed would be done on Sunday. Sunday morning, when the team was in the bus going to the dressing room, it was pretty quiet. And in the dressing room, it was very quiet. This was the most serious pregame atmosphere probably in the game. Everyone was worried. And it was very quiet. And the Dodgers had a young left fielder by the name of Gene Hermansky. And Gene was colorful, bright, blonde, white, and fully you know what. And with this quiet atmosphere in the clubhouse, Gene suddenly said, "I've got it." And everybody looked and they said, "What?" He said, "We'll all wear number 42 and they'll never know which one is Jackie Robinson." Now that seemed funny at the day. In 1997, Jackie's number was retired. And in 2004, Gene Hermansky's words from 1950 came to fruition. "We'll all wear number 42. So tonight, when the Dodgers in Arizona line up on the foul lines, they'll be wearing 42. And all across the country, in every major league ballpark, every player will be wearing 42. And what does the 42 mean? It doesn't mean that they're all equal, not in the respect some are taller than others, some are heavier than others, some are left-handed, some are right-handed. But the one thing they share in carrying number 42 is the fact that the man who wore it gave them the one thing that no one at the time could ever have done. He gave them equality, and he gave them opportunity. Those were the two things that many of those people never had to hold to their hearts when they first began to play. So yes, 42 is a great number. It means a lot for a great man, but it is a tremendous number when you think of the man who wore it with such dignity, with such pride, and with such great discipline. And wasn't it sweet that he had Rachel on his arm? Love you, Rachel. Thank you.
Jackie Roosevelt Robinson. Open the door for many, many people who never played baseball before. And did it again. Number 21 should be retired too. Number 21, Roberto Clemente. For all Latino players, Roberto Clemente is a symbol of greatness. Roberto Clemente won 2 World Series. Roberto Clemente was the best player on the planet. In the 1960s, Roberto Clemente, number 21, should be retired forever. Like Jackie Robinson, number 42. While we're at it, number 6. Of the Boston Celtics. Why do you want to retire number 6? because Bill Russell means everything to black players who play NBA today. Now, to you ESPN folks, you don't know who Bill Russell is. You really don't. Before statistics, before cybernetics, before records, Bill Russell was the man from the University of San Francisco, winning two NCAA titles, the first black head coach, the first black head coach to win an NBA title, and I was 13 years in the NBA. He won 11 championships, 5 MVPs, in a town called Boston, a town who did not like black people. A town that still doesn't like black people. But Bill Russell played for them. I saw him play in last year in 1989 against the Philadelphia 76ers. And it was like a movie in slow motion. Sixers and the Celtics in 1989. So yes, number 6 should be retired forever from the NBA, along with number 21, Roberto Clemente of Major League Baseball. I'll be getting this done before the end of the decade. Now, I want to go a little bit about the fact that the outsiders are different. This guy was a mega supporter. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But he's an African American. Now, what he said disturbs me very much. The guy asked him, well, who are you? And he said, I'm a mega man. I'm not a black man. Well, I think you got that a little bit wrong. Because America sees you as a black man. And you may belong to the mega party, but those who don't know what mega means, it may make America great again. The theme of Donald J. Trump. Now this mega man got arrested. And he thought the law would be equal to him. Well, guess what? He got a rude awakening. Because he got the longest sentence of all the guys arrested in that January 6th uprising. He got almost 3 years in jail. Maybe he didn't get 3 years. Okay, the longest sentence of all the guys that did
a black Trump supporter who said in court that he actually wasn't black because he was MAGA. He participated in the January 6th insurrection. He received a long, well, actually tied someone else for the longest jail sentence for those impacted on January 6th. Mark Ponder, a native of D.C., was sentenced to 5 years in federal prison for assaulting law enforcement with a fire extinguisher during the January 6th insurrection and breaking a riot shield. After his arrest by the FBI, Ponder refuted Trump's false claims about the 2020 election in the Supreme Court. The FBI has arrested around 850 people in connection to January 6th, with hundreds of cases in the works. I got to say, it was pretty hilarious, Reese, him saying, oh, no, I'm not, I'm sorry, I'm, me, I'm not black. I'm not black. No, I'm MAGA. That's what he said. He said, I'm not black, I'm MAGA.
Oh, like you not black, you OJ? Well, shit, they just OJ that ass up too, okay? So if anybody was gonna go to jail, it was definitely gonna be your black ass, and they was definitely gonna throw the book at you. So it probably doesn't pay be an insurrectionist foot soldier of white supremacist home boy.
You my ass going away. No, I'm saying you not black, you black. My ass going away.
Listen, he F-A-F-O. He fucked around and found out. So he sure did got those 63 months, baby, those 5 years and 3 months, another quarter. So shout out to Mark Ponder. And okay. It was mentioned that he had decades of a criminal record. I said, look at that. You're getting the all-star black treatment. They are rolling out the carpet, baby, not just talking about the crime that you committed for which you're being jailed for, but they went back decades to say that you are a career criminal. So I hope that he gets in real good with the Aryan Nation there at the prison that he'll be in. Shout out to Mark Ponder, a latest victim of FAFO.
But he got his N-word wake-up call. Even though he got his N-word wake-up call, it wasn't that much of N-word because he got a lot of licks in. For a black man hitting an altercation with the police. I mean, he was beating them cops' ass. Normally, we do not see black people survive those kind of encounters. So if he wasn't a MAGA person, I might almost have been rooting for him just for the culture to have gotten a couple of licks in. I'm not saying I'm not condoning violence against the cops, the Capitol Police. They wasn't doing anything wrong in that case. But I'm just saying, for all the licks that he got in, he survived it, and he got 5 years. I don't think that's a bad deal. Even though he got more than most people did.
Greg, bottom line, as far as I'm concerned for this dumbass, some people are like, well, you know, this is unfair. If the black man got the most, he got traded. He ain't on team. He not on team black.
You're right. Well, you know, and here kind of, again, it brings it all into perspective, doesn't it? The judge, the U.S. district judge that handed this sentence out, actually contemplated giving him more. He actually gave him 3 months over the prosecution's ask. That judge is named Tanya Chuktan. She is an African-American. She's from Kingston, Jamaica, raised here, went to school to George Washington here in the district, and she has been holy hell on the January 6th protesters. There are many more that are going to appear before her before it's done. She's also the one who she was presiding over that the case where Trump was trying to keep his records sealed and away. But Tanya Chuktan is not playing. So before anybody says that the black man got different, understand the black woman was like, oh, hell no. I'll put all of y'all in jail. So, you know, sit on that as Clarence Thomas tries to hide his wife from a whole-ass insurrection, because if she appeared before Tanya Chuktan, her ass going to jail too. And last I checked, the feds are thinking about bringing her to testify, so maybe we'll see Chuktan play in place and we'll see a black woman gather this one right here.
All right, folks, that's not going with my uncle's video in just one moment. Folks, Black Star Network is here.
I'm real revolutionary right now.
Support this man, Black Media. He makes sure that our stories are told.
Thank you for being the voice of Black America, Roland.
I love y'all.
All momentum we have now,
We have to keep this going.
The video looks phenomenal.
See, there's a difference between Black Star Network and Black-owned media and something like CNN.
You can't be Black-owned media and be scared.
It's time to be smart.
Bring your eyeballs home.
You dig?
Thank you, Royal Martin. Royal Martin, tell it like it is. Tell it like it is. And this week, the only way to break this down and stop this nonsense is to make them broke. What happened this week with TV radio host Mr. Jones, who insisted on the murder of kids to be hoax. Well, the judge said, okay, $42 million, and the jury came back with. See, this happened about 8 years ago, 9, 10 years ago, with the Ku Klux Klan. A black woman challenged the Klan. The judge said $8.2 million. That was the end of the Klan. But the Klan morphed into other groups. Now they're called the Proud Boys. Now they're called different names. But it's the Klan. And the only way to break this is to break them in the bank. Jones, and this is almost hilarious talking about it. Jones is now saying that he's broke. Look up Jones' record, and he has $142 million he made last year. $142 million, and today he claims that he's broke. Yeah, he's broke, all right. And these mega people, I got to learn, money. If you got money, you better hide it, because we're gonna go after it. If I have my way, I would sue President Donald J. Trump. I would sue him just to be spiteful. I would sue him. And here's the reason why. Donald J. Trump is getting money each week through his other funds, other companies. Donald J. Trump needs to be broke. And this is the way to do it. What happened to Jones this week in court in Texas needs to happen to Donald J. Trump in New York and in Georgia. And it needs to happen. Because this is the only way you are going to break the mega membership ride. Just like the Ku Klux Klan. You don't hear about the Ku Klux Klan anymore, do you? Because that little lady in Georgia broke them. We need to break the O.J. Trump. And end his license. And his Marjorie Taylor Greene. And this, that's what I'm saying. Michael, how you doing, brother?
What's going on, brother? I was listening to you, and I was thinking.
thinking about Alex Jones getting spanked in the wallet. You're like, that's how you cut those liars off. You know, you hit him in the wallet.
Michael, what happens is, if you go to court and demand the money for these girls, it would stop.
Well, unfortunately, folks don't realize standing on the basis of lies is a very precipitous proposition. Jones tried to work on the strength of his lies, and he got caught. You know, just like how Fox News got caught for the voting machine scandal. They're going to pay, too. Everybody's going to write that check.
Yeah.
And if I remember right, I think Jones has three more people waiting in line as soon as he has two. So
yeah, he got five more major lawsuits. Five.
So
and,
just
be... they all go through with this. They are in trouble.
He should be settling. Well, he should attempt to be settling because $50 million is $50 million. $50 million is no joke. Even if, as is reported, he supposedly is making $800,000 a day. Well, if he is,
yes,
then he can afford to write it off. Write the checks, shut the hell up, and get back to your medicine or vitamins or whatever the hell you're trying to sell to these stupid people out here, you know?
Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene should be underneath. Did you get this in the bathroom?
Bathroom? What?
Yep.
No, you're... Okay, Marjorie Taylor Greene has lied her butt off so many times.
Yes, she has.
What's straight? She ain't no one straight.
She has to do is lie. They're buying it. That's what they're doing. That's what that whole CPAC nonsense is about. They want to hear themselves. You know, that's the only place where they're going to say the election was rigged, blah, 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 blah. And people will go, yeah.
And what gets me is Arizona had audit. They had two audits. That one, two audits. And both of the audits.
They didn't find
anything.
They knew they weren't going to find anything. You know, the so-called cyber ninjas, whatever they called themselves, they were full of hot air. They didn't find anything. And when it came to Trump in Georgia, it was like I said earlier, if, as Trump said, he won the election by 400,000 votes, then you don't need another 12,000 to solve the issue. You're already taking care of that. But,
Michael, you know what's dangerous about this?
What?
People better wake up. You have Mega Man in different states.
Yeah.
Who are now attorney generals.
True.
Who are now physical, responsible of the state.
Right.
We're not the we're trying to combat global warming, right?
Right.
And these knuckleheads are blocking everything to do with global warming.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got fires in Northern California. That's probably a flood last night. You have 101 degrees in carbon dioxide, 101 degrees. You have 99 degrees in New York and Chicago. What are you doing?
Yeah, you don't have to tell me. It was 95 degrees just the other night, not day, night.
What
and I'm like, what
doing?
The hell?
My
black ass was roasting
it
down here. Yeah, no, you get it. You know, there's no such thing as global warming. Ha ha. That's what they're telling you. You know doggone well that's what's happening. They know that's what's happening. And in the era that Trump was president, he tore down several legislations that were trying to protect the environment, you know, and he did it out of spite. You know, this is, we have to look at the base of this. Never mind right or wrong. Never mind all the other stuff. This is all simple black and white. Black man did this, so we got to undo it. You know, and the funny part about it is Obama's not really pro-black.
Nope.
You know, Citizens United was designed to benefit the Reaganites, which is what he is. And they did. But we don't know about that. All we know is we see the black face, and he is the other guy. He's the enemy. And this asshole, the guy from Hungary who's doing the speech at CPAC, he's right in step with that nonsense. Urban, Orban, whatever the fuck his name is.
I want to be the whistleblower on this. The past 3.5 weeks, 10,000 Ukrainians, 10,000 Ukrainians per day, 10,000 Ukrainians per day have crossed the American borders.
That's
the
right.
Past 3 weeks.
Right.
Nobody said a word. Nobody said a word.
Of course. What do you expect? We're not supposed to be at war, but we are making de facto war moves on behalf of Ukraine. We know that. And we know that immigration is going to grant the Ukrainians every license possible in order to get in this country.
A day, Michael.
I had no clue it was that many, but I dig it. I understand what you're saying.
Hey, and you talk about black and brown people right there, aliens. Get out of here!
Whoa, come on now. What don't you already know about this? You know, we saw that in Cuba. Cubans, welcome to the United States. Haitians, Haiti's that way. Turn your ass around and get back on that piece of boat you were on. You know, we know that this is how they roll with this. Come on. You know, you're making it sound like this is, you know, revised history. We know this is what's been going on. Now, do you know that a case of polio was discovered in New York? Polio.
I know. Michael.
Polio has been done since about a month ago.
And when I read that, I said, here we go. And see, now we're going to get children with all these disabilities who did not need to go through it because you're dumb.
Listen, polio had been going since you and me and Tony and everybody else had the little sugar cube when we were kids. It should never have come back. Never.
Michael, this monkey stuff.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, watch. If they don't get a handle on this, the next 2 weeks, we're going to have a complete outbreak of monkeypox.
Well, I think that's intentional.
And they don't get control of this.
I think that's intentional. But what do I know? You know,
it's
just meant to
spare
for that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I look at the world statistics. America has the highest number of monkeypox. What are you doing?
Of course. Nobody even knew what the hell monkeypox was until 3 months ago. And now, it's all of a sudden a plague here. Somebody deliberately brought that here. Somebody has been spreading it and intentionally spreading it. This is not a case of
what is dangerous? What is dangerous in this day? And for my gay and lesbian brothers and sisters. type of a illness, and folks, you cannot get monkeypox just by having sex. I'm sorry, it ain't happening. Monkeypox is you have to rub your skin together.
It could mean
stop
anybody.
Stop this gay, once again, this gay and lesbian bashing, which America been doing for the past umpteen years.
But hold on, Gary, hold on. This isn't just gay and lesbian bashing. This is the fact that gay and lesbians have gotten to the point where they have turned themselves into a group that has, from a peer standpoint, put pressure on other groups in this country. Some of it is rights and money, human rights. The other stuff is like exception where it's like, oh, you must consider us. Why? You know, you're talking about situations that are specific only to you. No, we must not consider you. That's bullshit. But because they get into the press and they speak on this and grasp the narrative, it's a whole nother story.
Yes.
You know, Dave Chappelle said something a long time ago in his monologue that is so true, that respect is bisexual. It goes both ways. Don't sit and talk any bullshit to me about respect for gays and lesbians. If you do not respect me, you know, that's really what it comes down to. Respect is bisexual. It goes both ways. If it ain't going both ways, shut the hell up.
I'm going to tell you something. This country, Michael, I don't know how old you are, but I will be 69 this year. 69.
I'll be 69 next year.
I have never seen such foolishness in my life. I mean, utter foolishness.
True.
You're sitting there. It wasn't in D.C. And you know people around this country are barely making it day by day.
Yep.
We have more homeless than anybody else on the planet.
Yeah.
And yet we are the richest country on the... What the hell are you doing?
In this so-called dispersal.
I go over to San Francisco, and San Francisco has a drug issue.
Okay,
seriously, a drug issue.
No, I've seen some of those videos. I think you're right.
It's freaking me out. It's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I say is this: you have a surplus in Sacramento. What do you do with that money?
Mm-hmm.
With that money, you have a surplus. You want to give it away. No. You need to fix the infrastructure of the state. That's what you need to do.
Well, supposedly that's what they're talking about in the congressional session this weekend. And they're making it sound like they're doing all this work for our benefit. I believe that when I see it.
Well, it's going to come. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about here. On Thursday afternoon, the University of California sent bulldozers and tractors to People's Park in Berkeley, California.
Okay.
People's Park is a national landmark.
Okay.
It was where the free speech movement began.
All right.
That's what People's Park is. Well, guess what? In the middle of their tearing down the trees, thousands and thousands of students descended on People's Park.
Okay.
They had a near riot. Okay. They called the state troopers. The state troopers will not come to Berkeley. You know why?
Why?
Berkeley has a ordinance that you cannot use pepper spray or gas on demonstrators.
Holy
so
shit.
The commander of the state troopers said, I ain't going to Berkeley. Berkeley has to deal with it on their own.
Gary, wait. You're telling me that police refuse to go because they can't use pepper spray.
State troopers can. That's right. State troopers. Not regular police. There's a city ordinance. You can't use pepper spray in Berkeley.
Holy shit.
And they wouldn't go.
That's mind-blowing.
What does that tell you?
That's a mess. But I have seen countless videos on YouTube and elsewhere where San Francisco has taken a major hit. It does not look like the place a lot of folks back east believe it to be. And much of the tone is that you don't want to move here or that people are trying to get out of there. And, again, you're saying the drug problem is the issue. And, yeah, we've seen proof of that stuff. Well, we've seen evidence that
we've got here. You guys riding in the Walgreens on bicycles. They ain't gone.
Yeah, they said that. They mentioned about people just walking out and taking stuff.
I mean, you can't, and this all goes back. To 2015. I'm telling you, it all goes back to there.
What happened in 2015?
The nomination of Donald J. Trump.
Oh, that.
Okay.
Mm.
And ever since then, the word Reba pregnant very perfectly. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. The United States.
Yep. Wow.
If you're black, and male, guess what? You better be with all around.
Yeah, no kidding. Who you telling?
I sit here. I know we're gonna get into this. With Miss Brittany Griner, who got 9 years in Russia.
Yep.
Folks, I don't know about you, but when I pack my bags, I know what's in my suitcase. I know where every item is in my suitcase. So for you to sit there and say, I didn't know that cannabis oil was in my bag, and they lied.
Uh-huh.
And you got caught. You just got caught, that's all.
Yeah, let me flash back for a bit if you'll allow me.
Go ahead, bro. I know you got to come up. Go ahead, do your thing.
In 1971 in New York State, Governor Nelson Rockefeller instituted some of the most draconian drug laws ever.
Yes, sir.
If I had been caught with a dime bag of weed, listen to me, a dime bag of weed, my ass would have did time for years. And ironically, just as certain states were legalizing marijuana, there were people still in jail who were arrested under the statutes of Nelson Rockefeller's 71 drug laws, or drug laws. Now, as this comes into play, we flash to Britney and what she did. All I can tell you is this. First of all, this isn't dumb. This is about arrogance. You know, she knew. The reason she knew, and I vacillated between not knowing and she did on purpose.
She knew.
Britney did this, she did this on purpose, guys, because she had been playing in Russia for years. She knew what the status was. She knew what the protocol was. Again, I lived in Germany for 4 years. I had to get set down, and they asked how will I make a living. They checked my financials to make sure that I could pay rent and all the other shit and not have to worry about being on the dole. I had to show proof of all of that. So I know across the border in another country, somewhere else, if the laws say don't do this, you don't do that. If the laws say if you're a citizen here, you do this, as a visitor respecting that, you do that.
Brittany knew better. She knew better.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. So all this Sturm und Drang from the WNBA about backing her and what the Phoenix Mercury coach said, it's all garbage because she's got 9 years to do. Now, we know she won't do nine because as soon as that break hit, the governments respectively are playing, let's make a deal so that Britney and some other guy who got railroaded over there and another white guy who was like, hey, you getting this white guy out? Please, you got to get me out too. They want to get out. And the Russians will say, sure, we'll let you go. But we got a couple of big bastardly rascals that you guys caught.
In your jail, yep, yep.
And so we'll gladly flee. Let's make a deal. And, of course, Britney will come home and she'll be treated like a heroine when really she's a dumb bitch. And I say it just like that because you earned that.
Now, wait, Michael, think about this.
Yes.
Two years ago, Britney and a lot of other black political activists were railing against the government. They were railing against the government.
Right.
Now you're in jail in a foreign country. And you want that same government, which you railed against, to come save your mind. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, if I'm the president of the United States, guess what? You're doing 9 years. Bye. Because you railed against me when you were right here. You were railing against me all summer.
True, but
summer of 2020, you were saying everything under the sun against the government of the United States.
But you don't have that luxury. She's too high profile. And she was hoping for that. She's hoping that I'm too high profile to just be left alone. You may not miss Gary Gray if he's arrested But you'll miss Brittany Griner because they'll say, well, what did you do with your 6'9" black queer female? Yes, she's here, and she's going to stay here because she broke the law. Because like you said, she knew what she was packing, and she didn't make any mistake. She got caught. Simple as that.
And under the communist regime, they do not like gay people in the first place.
They
be
don't.
Be it Russia, China,
Hungary,
Cuba,
they don't.
Ever.
No.
Mm-hmm. Under a communist flag, they do not like gay people, period.
They don't. But again, all the noise they're making about Britney here, it's not even white noise. It's not even black noise. It's just noise. You broke the law somewhere else. You don't have the right to make any noise. You know, what are you going to say? What you should be saying is, oh, Britney, you stupid bitch. Why did you do this? You knew what the laws were. You know,
but they won't. This is the thing about America, Michael. You can talk about black people.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk about Latino people.
Yep.
You may get away with talking about Asian people now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But you ain't talking about no gay lesbians.
Nope.
They will jack you up in a second, you know, about gay lesbians. Example.
To the whole gay world in that regard. Goes both ways. If you don't respect me, don't expect me to respect you. And I'm with him 1,000% in that regard. You know,
well,
all these motherfuckers
about
need
the
to
game
get
world.
A fucking life.
One thing I can say about the gay and lesbian community, which I do commend, is that they have been an ally for the disabled world. Okay, without the gay and lesbian community, we would not be, the disabled community would not be a political force it is today without the gay and lesbian community. So I give them the props and I
hear you. Tony
in the house, what's up, Tony?
How's it going?
Okay. Michael, finish your point, please.
My point is simply this: that if you're living somewhere else, they tell you how to live. If you're not one of your citizens, pay attention to it. I couldn't speak German and live there. I had to go to Deutsche Schule, a German school, and I did. And the whole point was you have to accumulate and be part of the community that you're in if you're going to be there long term. This wasn't where you can say, "Oh, I can dictate this because I'm American. You must do this way or do this as I say." That's what
the American way.
That's what the ugly American terminology was about in the 30s and 40s. You don't dictate to that. It's like, okay, yeah, you do this, you do that. Do this, do that, we got no problem. Welcome to our country. Okay. You know, you didn't do that. You said you packed your bags, and it was a mistake that ended up in there. That's bullshit. You know, you don't, somebody has to either be hooked on vaping, because nobody wants to vape that bad. I've never heard of anyone, I could be wrong, I've never heard of anyone wanting to vape so badly that they had to have it, you know, like a cigarette, you know.
Well, maybe it's becoming very serious in California. I don't know about the East Coast, but it's bad out here. I just think that Americans are too drug dependent. They're too drug dependent.
Well, drug dependent or not, I know that vaping is legal in the UK. You know, because I've actually seen specials on how they've had to deal with their own issues with vaping over there. But this is not a case of her coming and being a tourist. You were over there 7 years. So for 7 years, roughly, you got away with your habit under the guise of living in that country. Now, that's one time you get caught, and it's going to cost you 9 years, and all other kinds of political situations fall into play because you screwed up. Not anybody else, you did. And now they're going to try to make her seem like she's some sort of hero in the WNBA. That's bullshit. You know,
what gets me is this. If Brittany Griner were a black man in Russia, they wouldn't even talk about her, about him, or her.
Who?
Right?
Who? Who he?
That's because
exactly
if,
right.
If Brittany Griner was a male, you wouldn't hear a word about this.
No,
a black male.
Nope, he'd be too tired.
That's the reality of this date.
They would use him for ridicule.
Exactly.
I am so ticked right now of ESPN. I am ticked at them because what they did this week was inexcusable.
Gary, it's only inexcusable if you're still watching. And
there you go.
You know, we can do another hour on that if you're still if you're no Gary, if the minute you give in to watch, you get what you pay for. You know how they're gonna do stories like this. You can't be surprised anymore after all these years. The fact that you still go there and watch it and expect for them to react a different way. I mean, I don't know what more to tell you.
I don't expect them to react to them. What gets me upset is this. You claim to be the worldwide leader in sports. But you are the worldwide leader in BS, whatever you are.
But the minute you give in to that, you're buying into it, Gary. Yeah. I'm not, the minute you buy, I mean, why, I'll just ask, why do you still even bother to watch them other than sporting events? You know how they're going to play up a story like that. And remember, they're, you know, they allegedly cover the WNBA. So you know how, but you know how they're going to play this thing out.
I'm
going to
give you an example of Bill Russell.
I don't need an example. I know how they're going to, I mean, I don't even have to watch it to know how they're going to play certain things out. The fact that you keep, the fact that you still keep acquiescing to watch them, Bob, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to berate you, but it bothers me because you know what kind of, you know how it's going to be reported. You know what kind of angle they're going to take. And all this other stuff. If you're still outraged and mad at the mouse, then you're not doing your part in staying the hell away from them. Bottom line.
Not just that, G. It's not just that. It's the fact that we know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
You know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
like it's a surprise. It's their
yeah.
approach. And
they,
that's
they
why
just,
they
should
have
honored Bill Russell. They
no.
should have
why would they honor no, why? No. Let me ask Gary, hold
they
on. Why? Why would they honor?
Why
would they honor Bill Russell? They don't care. They don't care. They didn't build the mouse on Bill Russell. They built it on Michael Jordan. How many times have we heard this shit? You know, they'll talk about his 6 rings and forget about Bill Russell's 11. You know, I can, if I had a dime for every time that was mentioned, I could pay my rent for at least a month.
Yeah, it's you know, the thing is, especially now, you have to, and for every person that's sort of addicted to the mouse, there are other people that watch alternate. I mean, I get more information from folks on YouTube and what have you. Now some of them also worship at the tit of the mouse as well. But there's
yes.
enough of them out there. But there's enough of them out there that give basically the other side. And not so much the other side of the story, but just the entire story.
Yeah,
what bothers me is always, see, they only do it when it fits to their thing. Like I said, like I've always said, their 30 for 30 shows.
They're excellent shows.
Yeah. Oh, you know, that's probably the best thing on their networks.
I agree.
But also the Captain Series.
Well, if they're gonna do 7 parts, they damn well better get every thing right. They got enough, you know.
Like,
they got to get it right. And see, and the thing about it is, he is part of that era. So it's not like they can't say, well, we don't have any footage on this, or we don't have any.
I forgot about him bringing his ring.
I forgot
all about that.
Oh, yeah. Remember, he did 20 years. You know, so and see, here's the thing. There are probably some Yankee fans who allegedly watch him play every year that probably didn't remember or only have collective memory loss. Because see, what happens a lot is that we remember the last act as opposed to the entire, you know,
entire show. Yeah.
The entire thing. I mean, are we going to remember now? Are you going to remember Jordan when he was the hamstring king in D.C. the last 2 years of his career?
I do remember that. Mm.
Yeah, but you're gonna, but you also, but you know, there's that little matter of six rings in 8 years that sort of that just sort of supersedes that, you know. I mean, are we gonna remember? Are we gonna remember Kareem for being for his last 2 years in L.A.? Or are we gonna look at his body of work and six Hall of Fame rings? I mean, six MVP things. I mean, if that's the what's so silly is that we have a generation now that wants to sum up everyone's that first of all. Everyone wants to write the final chapter after page one.
Yeah,
and that's physically that's just implied, and then just fundamentally it's just silly, you know.
Yeah.
You always have to look at the total story. If you wanna sum up Bill Buckner's career with a little roll of the thirds, you're not only doing him a disservice, but you're showing how ignorant you are because his career was so much more than just that. But see, they do that with black athletes, with white athletes, and you get this distorted thing. That's the biggest problem that I have is that they want to microwave stories that need to be put out there. Now, look, I know they can't. There's only so many times or whatever that they devote, but the problem is when you have an agenda and you don't. I mean, end of the day, you're a journalist, at least allegedly, you're a journalist. Who, what, where, when, why, how? You still have to adhere to those five principles. When you don't adhere to those five principles and then want to call yourself a journalist, because, again, they call themselves journalists when it's convenient for them. When you catch them in a lie, oh, no, we're in entertainment. You know, you can't have, you know, yes, I know, you know, the Entertainment Sports and Programming Network, but end of the day, you are still journalists and media. You are supposed to inform the public at the end of the day.
That's like the Hank Aaron home run. Now I have forgotten that Bill Buckner was playing at that right field.
Exactly. He had won a batting title. He had actually played in a World Series before 86 with the Dodgers and actually played very well. But see, that's the thing. See, we're in this, you know, it's put this way. When you can think, and I'll use Russell as an example. And now again, we all don't think the same way. I get that. I know we can come off as maybe sort of media snobs when we say you need to watch the whole story. But to me, that's what the essence of media is. But that's another two-hour conversation in and of itself. But when Russell passed, I made it a point myself to go to YouTube. I just put in Bill Russell. And I watched as much, you know, films and stuff and whatever. And, you know, the whole narrative on Russell was that, yeah, he won the 11 rings, but he wasn't as good as Chamberlain. He wasn't as good as Alcindor. He wasn't as good as Reed and so on and so forth. You know, he didn't score as much. Yeah, he was a great rebounder, but back then those guys couldn't shoot, so he had a chance to get. And all the – it's like we're in an age now where instead of – celebrating what made him Bill Russell, we talk about what he can't do. To the point where his contribution gets lost. Now, I made it a point to watch, you know, watch footage and stuff and whatever. And you see the back and forth. The thing that got me, and even I had sort of, and again, when you watch like accumulative stuff. You forget stuff. Like you said, with the Jeter thing and what have you. You know, what always got me, what got me when I was watching this stuff, we always talk about the Celtic fast break and all the other stuff.
Right.
But here's the thing. You know who was either leading or finishing those fast breaks?
Casey Jones. Bill Russell.
No, Bill Russell. If he didn't start it, he finished it. Here's the thing. You have several folks that will talk about how the NBA is unwatchable now. And, you know, I go back and forth with it as well. I have to admit, I watch college ball more than I do the NBA now. I go back and forth with it. But see, the very same people that will try to tell you that the NBA is unwatchable will then try to tell you that Russell couldn't have played in this era and his era wasn't as good because you didn't have the great players like we have it now. And I'm saying,
But
that's just my point. Wait a minute. You're telling me that this level of ball now is unwatchable, but you're also trying to tell me that one of the all-time greats couldn't play because there weren't as many good players. Wait a minute. Are there good players now, or were there not good players? I mean, you know, which unbelievable lie do you want me to believe along the way here? Because there's so many narratives that are put out there in the sense of, you know, talking, you know, the same old BS talking points and all this other stuff. And that's why I always challenge folks who listen to our shows or listen or read what we write. I have no problem, you know, challenge yourself and go beyond all the bulls. You know, actually, you know, watch some game tape. Watch some films. There's you know, like I said, YouTube. Look, I got no problem saying, you know, I'm a whore for YouTube because I can literally put, you know, if I want to get the essence or to try to get some of the essence of what a person was and whatever, I can do that. You know, I told this story to Mike years ago. I had always read up about Marcus Garvey for years, but I had never actually physically heard him speak. I've read most of the stuff on him, but I never actually physically, or I guess in this instance, audibly ever heard the man speak or ever heard him do one of his speeches. So one day I just, you know, again, go to YouTube and put in Marcus Josiah Garvey, and for the next 2-3 hours,
yeah,
I got to hear Marcus Garvey speak, and it just reinforced what I had always thought about him. And see, that's the thing that's so bothersome now. We did not have YouTube back in the day. We did not have this information society that we have now. But the thing is, you have a generation that has that, and they don't use it. And it's bothersome because so many of these BS conversations or arguments that they have can be summed up in why don't you stop yapping and go to YouTube and look up the facts.
Yeah.
I was wondering about my article about the uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
I found every single uniform on YouTube.
Absolutely. Now, look, it's not the be-all to end-all. There's going to be some stuff you're not going to be able to find. But between, you know, if you want to go just strictly with numbers, there's Pro Football Reference, there's Pro Basketball Reference, baseball, all that stuff. So for all the folks that want to do stuff strictly on numbers, the information is there. But again, to me, that's taking the half-ass approach. I, on the other hand, want to do the Homer Simpson thing while I'm using my whole ass this time, because I want to be able to, because I want to be able to know the whole. I want to try to be able to know the whole story. And see, I would like to think that there are other folks out there, younger, older, or right at my age, that would want to know, because with the way media or what have you is now, they only seem to do it in little bites, in little whatever. No one really takes the time to really give the whole picture, to give it whole context. And again, there are forums for that now, because, you know, back in the day, you didn't have the 24/7 news, sports, entertainment frenzy that we have now. So to me, there's no excuse why it cannot be done. I know newspapers still, in a sense, are forced to by the nature of what they do. But even they now sort of take, even now they cut corners. And I didn't want to turn this into a rant per se. But my whole thinking, my thinking has always been, we live in this information society, but nine out of ten, the information we get is BS.
Yes.
I'm off my soapbox now. I'm done.
I'm going to ask you guys two questions. The first question is about Roberto Clemente. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that Major League Baseball needs to retire number 21. And
I agree.
If they can do it for 42, it's time for them to do it for 21.
It's ironic you say that, because, I mean, to sort of piggyback on that, you know, Magic Johnson basically said the other day they should do that, the NBA should do that for number six.
Bill Russell.
For Bill Russell. Yeah, I think that makes sense, where you can retire a number. Now, you also know that at some point people are going, what about Babe Ruth? And what about this guy? It sort of opens it up to whatever. But if there are certain numbers that should be retired in perpetuity, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I think Roberto is worthy of that. Yes, he has an award named. All the people that we just mentioned all have awards named after them. But that, you know, I don't have a problem. Matter of fact, it probably, considering how shabbily these guys get treated by their collective Hall of Fames,
yes,
maybe that's the best way to, you know, maybe that's sort of the way that can be separated in a sense.
What say you, Mr. Ingram?
We lose Mike? Mike? I guess so.
Maybe okay. My second issue is this. The Atlanta Braves, Kansas City Chiefs, San Diego, Florida State Seminoles, and San Diego State Aztecs. They are going to have to tell their fans they can no longer do the Tomahawk Chop. I am so sick of this chop. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Braves have now exploited this thing to the end. The San Diego Aztecs are beginning to do the same thing.
You know, this is just me speaking. I don't have a problem with what Florida State does, because that Florida State originated the thing. So
that's true.
They honor, we know that they honor the Seminole tribe in that area. Now the Braves, the Chiefs, and the Aztecs. I didn't even know the Aztecs were doing it because to me that's a stretch. But the other three or four, and the funny thing is the Chiefs never used it until like I guess recently over the last few years they've gotten away from it. But yeah, it's beyond whatever. I mean, again, Florida State. You know, if anything, Florida State should be taking the three of them schools, just take them three of those places. Like, hey, that's ours. You know, that's ours. Not you know, don't you know, whatever. I mean, I know the Braves.
But the thing is, number one, they got
Exactly.
Number two, the drum beat. That drum beat is not a religious drum beat at all. And they exploit this thing to the end.
It's typical white folks jumping on something to try to. I mean, it's beyond whitewashing. It's them taking somebody's culture who they have no respect for. But it's like Mike No D'Antoni trying to taking the offensive half of what Coach John McClendon did on both sides of the ball. It's what white folks have been doing for years, you know, trying to incorporate stuff into their own culture by stealing. You know, it's the reason why why they try to tell you that Bo Derek invented cornrows.
Yeah.
You know, it's the reason why they tell you that, you know, Glenn Miller and Artie Shaw were the kings of jazz. Meanwhile, you know, Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie say, excuse you?
Yeah, it's the reason they tell you that Donatello and Leonardo are great characters of the Ninja Turtles, but Rocksteady and Bebop, the villains, which were named after two forms of black music, are fucking villains and made cowardly by what they're perceived on the air. Even though it's a cartoon, white supremacy never takes a day off, guys.
Yeah. Especially when they can exploit it and put some cash in their pocket.
Mega drive, all the robots. You ain't big mega drive. Get out of here.
This is something they will not stop. This is something that they will continue to do as long as white supremacy does what it does. Right now, they're starting these so-called replacement theories. You know, we said years ago, there's going to be more, 10 years from now, there'll be more black folks and folks that look like us. And they know. And they're upset about that because there's not a blessed thing they can do about it short of wiping us out, which they're working hard at doing.
Well, let me, okay, for all you I want to make this very, very clear. Very clear. I am not gonna bite my tongue when I say this. When a white guy marries an Asian person, what color is that kid? When a black guy marries a white person, what color is that kid? When a Latino person married a white guy, what color is that kid? I rest my case. Dismissed.
Don't get no argument from me. Guys, have you talked about the Deshaun Watson stuff at all?
No, we didn't get to that yet.
I am totally annoyed with that too. 2.5 years. 2.5 years. And then you say, well, okay, we're gonna have to get, and then the NFL said, wait a minute,
stop me if I'm wrong, but aren't they actually violating their own standards? Because
yes, they are. Thank you. Thank you. That's exactly right.
The whole thing.
What are you doing?
Well, it's not even that. They're not even doing that. The thing, what's going on now? First of all, he was suspended for this past season.
That's right.
Why everyone refuses to say that out loud is beyond me. The folks who side he's on. Number two, what was agreed to when they went to this arbitrator to get their initial decision? The whole thing was the NFLPA said we won't appeal. And the NFL
arbitration for a reason.
Exactly. So now they didn't like, because their whole thing was they did not like the six. And I think they also, much like what happened with the Ray Rice thing, there were people out there that said they didn't suspend them enough. But even if they had given them another year, I think people would have said the same damn thing, personally.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
But the fact that, again, they're being given a second chance at this again, what's the whole thing going to happen now? Hold on, Gary. Now they're basically going to bring in their own judge.
There you go.
And give him, and then they're going to justify giving him a year.
Yep.
But also, you have two organizations, one the football club, and the Miami situation, and actually three, the Raiders situation, who have also sexual misconduct.
What was also interesting is that I think either it was Watson or one of his camp also brought out the precedent that was set with the Roethlisberger case.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think Roethlisberger missed a day at all.
He missed two games.
Yeah, he got two games. Like I said, when we were speculating on what we thought that he would get, one of the reasons why I said eight was they could not give him two games like they gave Ray Rice, and then get come back and get a second bite of the apple, and then give him four more. And this is what they're doing now. And my thinking is, wait a minute, where the hell is where's Waldo, aka Tamori Smith?
That's true.
He really is
the invisible man. This guy has
been. What I need to happen is, and this is gonna get really ugly. What's gonna happen is, the NFL is gonna add five more games.
Well, no, then remember they want to suspend him for the year. They want to give him another year.
But then. Watson can say, okay, I'm going to sue you. They're in a bad way.
Yeah, that line,
if Watson sues him,
But this way, yeah. that line to sue the NFL is getting longer than the McDonald's drive-thru at this point in time. Right now.
Make no bones about this. They can't have it both ways. They set the precedent. They asked for binding arbitration. Now, let me just forget about the sports aspect of it.
Yeah.
This just is a regular union management situation. He's a union member. He came into a situation that was involving his job or behavior connecting with his job. The court said, quite fine. We'll make a ruling on this, but once we make this ruling, it's bona fide. Nothing else can be done after the fact. The union can't react to it. Management can't react to it. That's what this is. She said 6 games, and ultimately it's a pro version of what was done to Johnny Manziel. You know,
now, Michael, what she did was, she followed what the NFL did in the past years. What are you doing?
Well, listen, that's what I mean. Listen, in the Johnny Manziel case, he said, look, I'm a good little white boy. I got good little rich white boys backing me up. If you try to mess with me, we'll go to college court and make a big mess out of this thing. And they said, all right, Johnny, for being a bad boy, you must sit for 1/4 of football. And don't you ever do it again. And, of course, he never did it again because he wasn't shit to begin with. But I digress. Now you have Watson here. He's got 230 million reasons to continue with his career. And they're mad at the fact that no matter what they did, no matter what they tried to do, his lawyer vilified him and justified that whatever he did, as despicable as it might have been to some, wasn't enough for them to get his ass. He paid everybody off in civil court, essentially. And so they said, all right, we're going to punish you 1/4 for every year you've been involved with this. So 6 games equals 1/4 of the time that you've been involved with these women. 6. Now we
hey, you know, you know what bothers me about the Washington case and all these ladies did not show up until after he signed the contract.
Yeah. What a surprise. No. What a surprise.
Look, it's going to get worse.
That's a red flag.
Yeah. Well, it's going to get worse, guys, because you just brought this up in the show Wednesday. Kraft is supposed to be up for the Hall of Fame. Now, how hypocritical can you be? You're going to say that Kraft should be nominated into the Hall of Fame when you're not giving proper credence to the things he did off the field. I mean, you use this to deprive Terrell Owens of the fact that he should have been in on a first ballot basis. They punished him for 2 years specifically for this. It had nothing to do with playing on the fucking field. Kraft should be treated the same way, but the press won't care. The press is too busy sucking as you know what, because they were getting good with him and having a seat at the table.
Also, the Washington football the NFL need to suspend the owner of the Washington football club. If they don't, they are not serious. I'm done.
Well, I found it real interesting that they all of a sudden dealt with the Dolphins this week because, again, this was more deflection more than anything else. End of the day, to me, it was sort of like the Warren Commission on the Dolphins, and then that apparently Stephen Ross was the lone gunman in their eyes. So they, you know. Back into the left. But to me, it was another thing of distraction. Because, see, look, the season, you know, technically has started since they had the Hall of Fame game.
Hey, why did you have the Hall of Fame game on Thursday? What is wrong with him?
Yeah, Gary, if you sit around and try to figure out the logic of the NFL, your damn head will explode five times a day and twice on Sunday.
Yeah. You got to remember, the NFL has the advantage of all the additional revenue streams that they're going to add, the fact that Sunday ticket will go to somebody else for a bigger price. And on top of everything else, their credibility factor is worth zero. You tell me that Ron Borges of the Boston Globe is going to sit there and say that Kraft is a model citizen and he should go into the Hall of Fame, kiss my black ass. That's the same shit that he used to try to stop Terrell Owens. Now, it's not the Terrell thing get in. It was the fact that it was politics and it had nothing to do with, well, how good is he? Did he do what he did on the field? Well, yes. You know, if that was the case, then it should have been an exception made, just like an exception was made for Ty Cobb's racist ass. They knew Cobb was a bigot, but that didn't stop them from being voted into the Hall of Fame, or Napoleon Lagerie, for that matter. All this is bullshit. And the bottom line of all this is that the NFL is taking a serious hit in credibility, and you can't take them seriously because you can't have a millionaire tell billionaires what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
And the sad thing.
A major hit this year because there's so many issues that are involved between the Washington Club, the Miami Club, the New England Patriots Club, and the Oakland Raiders. I still think there's a wild card out there with Chris Gruden.
Gruden could possibly become the Peter Lawford of the NFL in the sense of the man that knows all the secrets. Because my whole contention with Gruden's, you know, whatever, if you think John Gruden is the only NFL coach that is saying all this and all this other stuff is not there, then again I have some land in Babu Tatswana you might be interested in. The crazy thing about the NFL is it still plays this Jedi mind trick on folks for whatever reason.
Yep.
We're good.
Mm-hmm.
We're not all that bad. No, you're not. I'm doing my regular, you know, internet stuff, and somebody said watching the Hall of Fame game just reminded me why I didn't like watching the XFL. And I'm like, really, man?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Look,
it's an exhibition game, number one, so you know what you're going to get. You know, half of them guys are going to be working at Foot Locker or someplace,
the
next couple of months. So, no disrespect to them. You know, they're trying to make the NFL work. But even that, matter of fact, there's a couple of them leaving now after getting cut from camp. And you hear them in the background. But the thing is, there is so much the NFL shield, which is bullshit crapped on top of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
People still buy into it. There are folks that you could literally, you're hardcore NFL fans, you could literally pee on their leg and they will tell you, boy, it's raining awful hard out here today. And that's the crazy part about it. Even with even with stuff being so obvious that this whatever, but the thing is, they make it up because they put money in everybody's pocket and everybody.
That's right.
And look, I'm not gonna tell nobody how they should make their money. I'd be naive in that sense. But that being said, how damn low can you go here? I mean,
how
think
dare
about
you?
It. They are. I mean, here's just the basic question here. If we all agree that basically Watson and Robert Kraft are the same, have the same mentality, sexual wise,
right,
in sexuality,
mm-hmm,
why are you going to beat up one and then put another one on a friggin' pedestal?
There you go.
Answer me that question.
Billions of reasons why.
But it still needs to be asked, because even folks, I mean, even Roy Orbison can see what the fuck's going on here. I get tired of using Stevie and Ray all the time. I'm gonna give Roy some love and this. But it's maddening. It's maddening. Look, we already talked about just the level of play, and look, I think I watched more of them filling time because of the weather delay than I did the actual game, because I was watching Mets Braves. But the worst thing you could, if you're put it this way, you're a degenerate fan that you like watch and or tape the Hall of Fame game. I mean, not even your fantasy league trolls watch the Hall of Fame game.
That's true.
I can remember as a kid, and it was always in August. I would always be in summer camp.
It was basically Saturday afternoon or Saturday night. Yeah. They were like the Hall of Fame ceremonies was either during the day or at night,
right,
and then the game was played either that Saturday.
And what happened was in 1974, they moved it to the night game. And to me, that was the end of the Hall of Fame.
Well, the day night thing, 6-1, half a dozen of the other. They can play the game 6 a.m. and I probably still don't watch it. But the thing was,
is I look forward to that Saturday afternoon and
It was the novelty of, hey, football is back, NFL, a nonprofit organization, money. I mean, I don't know what Gary talking about, man. That doesn't make any sense.
Gary's drunk.
It's like that line from Sanford & Son. Rollo Steele? Yeah. It is what it is, unfortunately, with that. But see, again, how this thing plays out, because if they give this guy, I mean, put it this way, one would think that Jimmy Haslam is sitting there, I double dog dare you to suspend him for the rest of the year, because I'm going
come after your ass. $230 million? Are you kidding me?
Hell yeah! You got to
put it this way,
you got to know that he basically went to Roger Goodell a la Willie Randolph to Omar Minaya. Don't you make me take this trip out to L.A. and fire me. Yep. And they said, don't you let me sign this guy for a king's ransom, and then don't play him the first year.
There you go.
I can see Washington in a Raider uniform very easily.
No, I don't know. They're not gonna, Gary.
That ship's gonna sail, Gary.
Your silver and black is showing. There's probably, put it this way. There's a better chance of Daniel Vogelson doing a Slim Fast commercial than him going to the Raiders anytime soon. The Cleveland have put up way too much money to just they're just not going to be like, well, the goodness of our hearts, we just going to let him go to Vegas. And with the throwaway line, we wish
go
him well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really. No, that, you know, there's a better chance that, you know, Jimmy Hoffa and the Notorious B.I.G. are sitting somewhere, you know, sharing some ribs and fries than him going to the Raiders. I mean, I hear you, but no, they're not, you know, they didn't invest all of that just so they could, you know, do an Oklahoma wishbone type handoff to the Raiders.
Really?
All right. Well, this is what you guys know. If we get cut off, don't worry if we get cut off.
No, we're used to it. We're used to it now.
We just doing it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We just doing it.
The New York, the Open, the U.S. Open is next month. Djokovic refuses to get vaccinated.
Yeah, him and Whitfield from the Kansas City Royals. Yeah.
Yeah, Djokovic.
Apparently Kyrie Irving too, but that's another story.
Really.
Djokovic needs one major. And he hasn't won a major this year. So I want to see how this plays out.
Djokovic won't play. Listen,
yeah.
Polio just showed up. Polio hasn't been around since I took the sugar cube in second grade, for fuck's sakes. Are you kidding me? They are not going to allow this fool to use white privilege to such an extent that he can get an exemption for the U.S. Open. Either take the vaccine or sit your ass the fuck down.
Yeah. And I misspoke. Apparently, Mr. Whitfield has agreed to take the vaccination.
Yeah, I read that this morning.
Yeah. What a surprise! What a surprise! You know.
Yep.
What a surprise!
Yeah. Well,
Daniel, I don't even want to get into it because that's another 2-hour conversation, and look, I'm at that Kevin Bacon stage where the next motherfucker that talked about his or her right in regards to taking the vaccine is like, aren't you the same person that doesn't want that didn't want abortion too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I mean, that's even a hypocrisy of hypocrisy when you really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask Republican that question, you're like crazy.
I wish there was a way that you could see if you really want to drive them crazy. It's saying she can't have an abortion. She can't have an abortion, or she got to take that shot. How dare you? How dare you?
How about that?
Like,
oh, that would mess them up.
You know what, guys? I think this Roe v. Wade thing is going to blow up in their faces because they thought they really believe they were going to get away with this. They could lose seats all across America over this.
Well, this is the time where the plans of mice and men find out that they're all right. Like I said, in 2005, Alito came up for the high court. Bush, this was his last move. Bush's last move was getting Alito and Roberts in the high court. That was the last thing he did, and this was the one who they said was the dumb bunny. But no, he was doing some dick-dastic shit, setting up the court.
Mm-hmm.
Merrick Garland, in the meantime, he gets appointed to the high court by Obama, and McConnell cuts him off at the nuts. He stalls, and that's Donald Trump. So now Merrick Garland is there in the July 6th trials, and he's also there with other situations involving the election, election, and other stuff. And I know what he's thinking. Oh, you motherfuckers, turn me down for the Supreme Court. You can't block my ass. I'll fix your ass. And that's exactly what he's doing right now.
Don't forget your boy Kavanaugh, too.
That's right. Kavanaugh, too.
They said they had the guard to block Obama's candidate and turn right around and Trump gets rich. Are you out of your mind?
No, they're not. See, that's the thing. They know exactly. Look, see, we got to, you know, much like how Mike was talking about W is dumb as a fox, but W knows what he was doing.
That's right. Just because there are the votes don't mean you win. He told y'all that shit before. You know, this kind of crap has been going on since forever. And now that the court has been...
I think it's going to be very interesting. This November, I need to be very interesting.
Even more than that, it's more interesting how the sister who was put up to the court was lambasted. Sorry, Marilyn. Was lambasted by people like Cruz and others getting into shit that had nothing to really do with her job description. And they wanted to make sure they made life for her as hard as possible, even though they couldn't stop her from getting in. They didn't make it easy for her.
Who knows? She may wind up being the swing vote in all of this at the end of the day. Who knows?
For sure. That's right. For tomorrow night, we're going to have some fun. Now, y'all may not be old enough to remember 16 Magazine or Tiger Beat.
Oh, God. I remember. I remember all of that. Yeah.
The cartoon show. But there's a matchup I've always wanted to see play out. And that's the Jackson 5 against the 5 Stair Steps. That's going to be tomorrow evening. We're going to see if the Motown Machine really did make the Jackson 5 the young sound of the sound of young America. And, of course, Curtis Mayfield, who took the 5 Stair Steps under his wing and made them into a great group. We're going to get inside of that. So,
Mike, if I could just handicap that a little bit, definitely safe to say that Tito's going to hurt the Jackson 5 chances in
Tito always fucks it up for that.
Tito's going to fuck it up.
Mike's
hat,
just
hat,
a
hat, hat or no hat? had to know how. Uh-huh. I mean, basically, this
why
is Michael
Jackson.
Why
are we
It's put this way. I mean, at the end of the day, this is basically Michael Jackson versus Curtis Mayfield, pretty much. And
this is true. This is true. So Jackson 5 versus 5 Stair Steps tomorrow night, 9 p.m. It should be fun. Everybody, don't forget, buy your little magazine that has the lyrics in it and whatnot. Make sure they're singing the words right.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget to buy your sugar. What was the cereal that had the records on the back of the box?
It was Sugar Crisp.
See what we did. You know what we did, Mike? If it was a 45, we didn't like. We would do is we would take it. You know, we would take the one off the box top. And we would glue it on to the to the 45 we didn't like, because you couldn't do the B side of a song that we liked because that would just mess up both of them. So we'd always make sure we would get one. Nobody plays this. Let's just put
this
on the top, okay?
This is true. And it worked out
because if you tried to put it strictly from the box top to the needle,
your system's all messed up forever.
You would have to not even the world's strongest needle could help you get it on.
That used to drive me nuts. You're so right. But nobody would be harmed in this presentation. So yes, Jackson 5, Fast Pass Stops tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Be there.
And before Michael goes, I'm gonna have a little bit of Clarence Carter. The only musician
I know that had three names. This is the last I checked.
Just make sure you play till you get sick.
Didn't Clarence Carter do Patches too?
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
Patches on the pendant on the way. Pull the family through. My God, it's all to you. Yes.
Yeah. Not to mention what he was pulling in them greens when he would go grab something on the table. But that's all I'm saying.
No joke.
Oh, God. What you got, Tony?
Oh, tomorrow night at 9, I'm going to probably try to watch that, but if not, I'll be sleeping. But, Mets won the first game of the doubleheader today, so the lead is back to 4.5. It's going to go back on fourth all year. They're going to, you know, it's far from over. I think what's going to be real interesting is both the wild card races in both leagues is going to be because you've got about four or five teams.
Yeah.
That are fighting for the last spot, and there's only going to be two spots. So,
I actually like the wild card game with the managers because nothing can be more frustrating than playing a whole fucking season and having one game destroy it.
They got rid of the one game now. It's two out of this is the first year they're gonna do the two out of three. Put it this way. I mean they couldn't do unless they're gonna cut the season back to 158. Two out of three is the best that they're basically going to do. I think it still works because I mean look, it worked for the Dodgers and the Giants in 51. You know,
yeah.
It worked for him again in 62. So
yeah.
at least in that instance, see, the thing I fear more are these damn robo umpires, because I think by mid-season, if not sooner, by next year, we're gonna miss the humans as opposed to these robo umps.
True.
But that's another. But again, that's a whole other kettle of fish or whatever. But yeah, the wild card race, put this way, unless the Yankees go into a big dive, pretty much all the races are going to be. I think all the races are going to go down to the last day. Although,
yeah.
I know they're going through a little stretch now. It's not like the Red Sox are going to got a hot streak left in them, and Toronto's so hot and cold. Now, the one team that could mess this up, even though they may not win it, is Baltimore, because Baltimore is still playing well. And Baltimore right now, Baltimore is actually, I think, a game or a game and a half behind for the last spot.
Yeah.
And that's even with, you know, cutting loose a couple of their better players with Mancini and the reliever going to the Twins. But, let's put it this way. If you can't watch baseball this month and next month, you just can't watch it, man.
I can't believe that the Cleveland Indians had the longest streak of not winning the World Series.
Well, that's, I guess, in a sense, the Chief Wahoo curse going on there. I mean, now they're the guard.
Yeah, put on those motherfuckers. That's why.
Even Joe Vu said fuck them. You know, that's how crazy it is.
It's
at
this
point in time
right
now.
I like that name.
Well, I guess it has to do with they tried to make it historical because of, you know, I guess the city and all the other, and they actually were playing well, but there's a lot of teams right now that are just, you know, win one, lose two, win three, two, and they're there. And even with Minnesota ahead of that division, you know, somebody gets hot for a week and a half or so, they could pull it off. I mean,
sure.
To me, the best overall team is the White Sox, but their biggest albatross is that snoring, farting guy that's in the dugout every day that's supposed to be making moves.
I don't.
And the thing about it is, you don't know how much longer they're going to stay with that core. I mean, they're still relatively young, but they may, you know, what may wind up happening is, I mean, conceivably they could possibly come back and either win the division or get into the wild card. But I think with them is if they don't at least make the playoffs this year, I think they're gonna blow it up, unfortunately.
Gentlemen. Once and for all, can the Oakland A's please move the Vegas and get this crowd so they can go over with me?
Yeah.
Come on. Just move.
Now, I gave you a whole week to consider my offer, and you've dodged me more than Ted Cruz does voting in Congress.
Hold on. I got a better question. Gary, just how much would it cost to buy season tickets to the Oakland A's?
It's $1,000.
That's all? $1,000?
Yeah, $1,000.
The only drawback, Mike, is that they make you play third base, too.
That's the only drawback.
Well, I gave my book for that, but $1,000
is, I mean, that's a steal, considering.
And what they do is that they break it up into months.
How much is general admission? How much is just a general admission ticket, Gary, right now?
The average is $22.50.
For them?
The average.
For them? Well, how much is the general admission for them? Less than $10, probably.
A bleacher seat, $10.50.
Can I get bleachers? Now, see, I buy those.
Sure. Sure.
I
think that, don't the Yankees still have those $10 bleacher seats still?
Yeah, but you
if you don't want to go to an A's game, go to a Padres game now that they're hot. It's $15 for bleacher seats in San Diego.
For now. You know what? They may try to. I wouldn't be surprised if you see something where the Padres have announced an entire new ticket plan for the remaining 2020.
Guys, think about this. You have the Arizona Diamondbacks, the L.A. Angels, the L.A. Dodgers, and the A's moving to Vegas. You have four teams within an hour of each other.
Yeah, it's called Desert Division.
And remember, at one point you had three teams. You had three teams in New York. So it can.
That's right.
Here's the thing.
What's the big deal?
The fans are there. Because, see, the one thing that baseball still has over the majority of their big four, you can still get a ticket for $10 or less if you play the cards right. Now you can't eat or park, mind you, but you can buy a $10 ticket. And what have you. And see, to me, that's the one thing baseball should still hang its hat on. But where they mess themselves up is, and my team does it as well. If you want to, now they have all these different ticket packages. Like if you want to just watch them against the NL East, there's a certain thing. Mm-hmm. If you want all tickets to the quote unquote Subway Series, that's gonna be a certain price, and see they'll do like special things. Like they had a promotion where if Alonso had won the home run derby for a third straight year, they were gonna have all tickets for $22. All general admissions was gonna be $22 for 2022. And I'm sure the A's probably have, certain, games. Every team has different game plans. I mean, let's put it this way. Yankees versus Mariners is not going to cost you the same as Yankees versus Red Sox. Let's just be
honest.
Even though Seattle has gotten better, they still, put it this way, they're probably paying you to come see Yankees Mariners for the most
part.
Selective
seating. What I mean is
exactly.
Every team is different price whenever they come in.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Not even Walter O'Malley, the corpse of Walter O'Malley, could get a ticket to the Giants Dodger game at this point. I forget the team that did it. Basically, it's like gold, silver, bronze. Gold, of course, the highest tickets on demand. Silver and so on, and then there's another one, penny. Then there's another one, Penny, where they pay you to come watch the damn game.
Well, hold on a second. There's one big thing that's really missing here, and that is the fact that in order for you to get the most out of your buck, you got to have a rival. Now, we already know the Mets have those, say it with me, those motherfuckers from the Bronx. But who do the A's have? I mean, an A's Giants game should be a big deal, but I don't get the feeling that it is. Wow.
No, they're playing this weekend. A's Giants playing this weekend.
Yeah, the Pirates.
Nobody cares.
It doesn't help that neither one of them are in the race either. I guess that doesn't help. But yeah, I mean, look, everybody, you know, and to be honest, and maybe I'm seeing it from the, I think their biggest rivals are the Braves. Me personally, I get the whole thing with the Yankees because it's, you know, it's the Subway Series and all the other stuff, and they still got two more games up there in the Bronx, but.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, you know, like, you know, Cardinals, Cubs, Giants, Dodgers, and I guess to a certain
especially now. The old Bay rivalry with the Phillies and Montreal back in the day.
Hell, you know, it's funny because next week is actually Old Timers Day. They brought back Old Timers Day to Shea, and I guess they're getting a lot of the old players that are going to be coming back. Ooh. I know. Well, see, the whole thing was back in the day. Old Timers Day, automatically, it would either always be the Giant. They would always either be playing the Giants.
That's
or the
true.
Dodgers, for obvious reasons, because that was either because the Giants and Dodgers would used to come into the stadium more than once a year. Now that they only come once a year, it completely changes everything because even after today,
I can remember going to a Yankee old timers game and walking into old Yankee Stadium. That scared me to
the monuments were still on the field, remember? The monuments were still on the field.
It's like what Thomas Jane said in the movie 61. He played Mickey Mantle, and he said, Babe Ruth's presence is everywhere. You know? That fucking can't go around without seeing anything from him.
I believe it.
Oh, yeah.
When we walked in the stadium, it was like an aura.
Gary, you were walking in from the center field, from center field, right?
I walked from right field.
Oh, I always thought it was center field that they opened up to let people go through.
And this is
the original old Yankee Stadium, because see,
I never went to
the original Yankee Stadium. The Yankee Stadium, my old Yankee Stadium was the one that Steinbrenner and Abe Beam built.
That
was the rebuilt one. And see, they're on the third Yankee Stadium now.
Mm, that's right.
Well, I'll tell you, walking in that stadium, it gave me chills.
Well, what year did the original Yankee Stadium, 1924. And that thing stood for the longest, almost 50 years. It outlived both Ebbets Field and the Polo Grounds.
Yes, it did.
And they took out all the boats. They took
Oh, yeah. You could see from the platform on the number 4 train.
Yeah.
Into the field.
Yeah.
And they changed that with the refurbishment.
Because look, you got to remember, it was an all-purpose stadium before the Giants, when they were perennial winners, they had just as many October games there as the Yankees did up until I guess 1964. But
the New York Jets and the Mets finally there because that field. Then you got here with Oakland A's and the Oakland Raiders.
It was, the Jets never started a season at home until 1980. That's how long
the
same thing with the Raiders. Yeah, the same thing with the Raiders. For the Raiders, for the longest time, couldn't start at home especially during the 70s, because when the A's became perennial winners. Actually kicked the Raiders out along the way.
75, Al Davis said, look, we're playing home. I don't care what you guys do, we're playing home.
And it was never the same since the field or what have you. It was never quite the same because the A's, even after they left, I never could understand why if I was the A's, the day after Davis left, I'd be like, y'all need to make this our park since he left.
That's right. That's right.
And they never did. And I think they've been paying for it ever since because they never grabbed it.
The entity of the Oakland Coliseum was. Let Al Davis build that ugly-looking monster. I'll never forget. When they started building that monster out of their field, I started crying. I knew it was the end of That was a beautiful stadium before
yeah,
Al
when they,
Davis
when they, when they felt, yeah, when they felt, when they, you know, they, you know, they, you know, even at the height, they were still having attendance problems. But to their credit, when those World Series and playoff games were played,
the fans showed up.
They always showed up during the World Series or what have you. But
back in 80, whatever year, 89, whatever year was. When he drove the bell by box out there, are you kidding me?
Well, no, they just, you know, and look, the A's have been on borrowed time, unfortunately. I think, put it this way, I know this is a good ways away, but I think whether it's Vegas, whether they, to be quite honest, if there's any justice, they become the Montreal A's.
You know, that wouldn't be a bad thing.
That's just a thought.
I wouldn't mind that at all. And even the stubborn Quebecois would realize that when they let Montreal go, we missed the chance to make a whole lot of argent.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Sure enough, and if somehow Oakland were to mess up, Le Eggs would be welcomed in Montreal. That's for damn sure. They would welcome them just like a smoked meat sandwich.
Yeah. If I get the lure of Vegas and all of that, and see the thing
the Montreal
is,
A's, I actually like that.
Put it this way. I do think we'll get a team back in Montreal at some point, whether it becomes what makes more sense is the Rays moving to
Montreal because then them and Toronto, who already play each other 19 times a year, that
yep.
game becomes even bigger.
Okay.
Guys, think about this.
Montreal becomes a team, right? Vancouver gets a bump up.
No, Vancouver will not get a bump up. They tried it out there.
It won't work.
It won't. I was there, they had exhibition games, and Larry Walker and the Montreal Expos went out there and played, and they had Moises Alou at that time. They ended up with about 30,000 in the ballpark. It was a decent game, but they were playing in BC Place, and BC Place, although it's a nice stadium, it's not set up for baseball. It was an ugly watch in BC.
That's the whole thing with Vegas. Put it this way, wherever they go, they are probably going to have to play in a minor league park at the very least the first year, maybe the first 2 years, unless they put. Now, it took them a year to do the Raiders place in Vegas?
Pretty much.
Two years.
Okay, let's just say 2 years. So probably the first 2 years, they're probably going to have to play at that minor league park where they played at before when they were in Vegas. But they'll make up for it if they give them everything that they didn't get from Oakland, they'd be willing to take a loss. So look, they're hemorrhaging money now anyway. I mean, I always told folks the lowest point of being a Met fan was in 79 because they didn't draw. They never had to play. No. They were still playing the Shea. But the thing was, opening day, they had 22,000 for opening day. And they didn't draw a million. They drew like 800,000 that entire year. They were not only the worst team in the majors, they were the worst franchise in all of professional sports in
1990.
To me, that was the bottom, because it was already a year removed from Seaver being traded. Their marquee acquisition that year was Richie Hebner.
Oh God, I remember that. That's
yeah. Exactly. That was their marquee guy. And basically, you were watching the Met game to see if Dave Kingman was going to hit one 600 feet or he would give you a breeze of 600 knots when he struck out. So that was basically the thing there. But the thing is, right now, the A's have a possibility of drawing maybe not even 600,000 or 700,000. And when you think about that now, here's the thing. Now, truth be told, the Major League attendance average is down this year. It's like 26,000 on an average. That would be like a raucous crowd for an A's game at this point right now. 26,000. But that's the thing. They have to let it bottom up. But see, let them finish out this. They should not start another season in Oakland. Give that franchise and give the 12 loyal fans that are left. let it die.
Now, Gary mentioned the Diamondbacks, Colorado. I mean, you realize you're talking about all the old AAA franchises being
now,
they're not on home fields.
Yeah,
right.
That's Bakura. Yeah. Expansion. See, expansion isn't all it's cracked up to be a lot of times.
No.
You know?
No.
It really isn't. It really isn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nice and whatever, but in certain instances, and I think baseball is a perfect example, it just didn't work. Now, see, to me, the fact that you have two teams in Florida
mm-hmm.
is asinine, and they both play indoors.
But Florida and Arizona, they never have a team. The reason why is because
they have spring training.
There's no reason to have a team in either one of those states.
And what's the common thread for all three? They all three play indoors.
Yes, that's kind of the ultimate, the oxymoron. The Florida Marlins playing indoors. The Tampa Bay Rays playing indoors.
And Colorado should play indoors because it's usually cold as hell, even in August.
It'll be 25 degrees one day just as quickly.
You go to Denver, right? It can be 91 degrees at 3 o'clock.
And then 2 hours later.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. That's you know, it's you know,
baseball
expansion for the sake of expansion.
Yeah,
has not worked.
Baseball is desperate, man. They're desperate.
I like
the idea of the Montreal A's. That's a great idea, or the Montreal Rays. Either way, get something back in Montreal so then Toronto can pick up on the popularity and have a good rivalry. But
put it this way, if DC can go through 85 damn teams, Montreal at the very least should be able to have a second chance.
Yes, I agree.
I'll tell you, why did they get rid of this team?
It depends on who buys them. Because if you get a local guy, because see, Lerner is just, to be honest with you, Lerner is just, he's Tony La Russa. He's just tired. He needs a nap. And he's just tired. He showed as much because he didn't even try. I don't think Soto turned down the money. I just think that they needed an excuse to get rid of him so they could sell the club. I don't think the guy that owns the Capitals will buy them, but mm-hmm. you get an Apollyon type that wants to keep the team in D.C. Because, see, here's the crazy thing, and I don't know if you guys agree with me with this. The best thing that can happen to the Nationals is the Orioles being relevant again.
I agree. Now you've got another natural rivalry situation, and whoever buys the Nats needs to just admit their mistake and change their damn name to the Grays. That's what they should do.
And also, they need to. Their whole cable thing is all messed up because the cable network there that has both the Orioles and the Nats. Apparently, the Nats have gotten the worst end of the deal, basically from day one. The Orioles. The Orioles have been hard asses because they want to. You know, they literally. Remember how the old show, the old Chuck Connors show, Brandon always used to start when they would strip him and all that. That's basically what the Orioles have done with the Nats since they got there. And the thing about it is, they don't give them that cool ass song to play in the background while they're doing it. They just start skipping whatever.
Are you doing your head?
Exactly. What do you do when you're a Nats fan and nobody gives a damn? That's usually what the line is down there. Because they're not even third class citizens down there.
And you don't give a damn.
I mean, that's basically what's going on there now. Because, see, why wouldn't you, I mean, you know, why wouldn't you build the team around a guy that, I mean, who arguably
I would,
is going
I,
to be.
Or at the very least,
get on all fours and say, could you do like a hometown discount for like a year, and then we'll take care of you down the road? But they didn't even try to do that. They just basically said, he don't want to play here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, okay.
You know, it's going to make it very interesting because San Diego lineup, I'm very curious to see if San Diego can catch Dodgers.
Well,
mm-hmm.
they lost
the
The crazy thing is the Padres-Dodgers thing. It's, to me, it reminds me of the Mets and the Yankees. You're never really going to win. You're never, because look. Even though the Dodgers are carpetbaggers themselves, but still, they've been there. When you think of California baseball, the first team you think of is the Dodgers. Good, bad, or indifferent. And see, they've been there long enough now. They've been there long enough now that folks are like, they used to be in where? Brooklyn? No shit. But the thing is, with the Padres have been chasing their tail for years.
Now,
even now, this is, you know, look, they have basically said, we're putting all our cards on the damn table to win a World Series. But that's all well and good. But if you can't beat the damn Dodgers, guess what? You ain't going to the World Series. But you know what the difference is, Gary? The Giants can't remember. The Dodgers arguably remember what was everybody forgets. The stipulation for the Dodgers coming to LA was they had to bring somebody else. And remember, they were, you know, and see, what people forget is they didn't go to the Giants first. They went to the Cubs first. And Ricky said, nah, I'm good. It was sort of like a backhanded thing where he went to Stoneham and said, look, I'm leaving, but I have to bring somebody with me. And would you be interested? And Stoneham was like, where the fuck do I sign? I want out of here. But see, the Giants and the Dodgers, before Cali and after Cali, they've always been kissing cousins. So there's always been somewhat of a level of respect. There's always been a level of fear. Because remember, the Giants got almost just as many clowns in San Fran as the Dodgers do in L.A.
I got to play Horseshack here because it should be mentioned for the record that the New York Giants should have been called the Harlem Giants. Their ball field, the
bowling
grounds, was located in Harlem underneath the valley at less than 155th Street and 8th Avenue.
And the sad thing is, Mike, it's part of the reason why both of them left, because their crowds got blacker.
They were getting too black.
And that's the main, because here's the thing. I keep telling folks, Citi Field, literally, physically, and everything else, That's exactly what, or if Citi Field was built back in 1957, there would be no New York Mets. They would still be the Brooklyn Dodgers.
And I agree.
And arguably, there would be no San Francisco Giants either.
Yeah.
But because they didn't, because the city of New York says, the state of New York said, they ain't leaving. They're not leaving. Even while they were loading up the trucks, they are not leaving.
They'll be back.
It literally didn't hit them till them damn boulders came running down. They left. Yeah. They gave
it
up.
With the Atlanta Braves movie,
That's the nasty little secret that baseball won't tell you, because see, in turn, you got to remember, Chavez Ravine, where they play, they displaced a bunch of families in that whole thing. That's why the irony. Because if you ever watch the 30 for 30 on Fernando Mania, it starts off with that, because when Fernando was at his height, it basically brought back the Latino fans to the stadium, because for the longest time they were like, Fuck them. They took away our land. And then the irony of ironies, somebody that looked like them in a Dodger uniform and the Dodgers are big in the Hispanic community now. Look, you mentioned to older Dodger fans Fernando, and they start tearing up. Because
there's
no
joke. Remember the Giants had one Marichal for the longest time. He was Dominican, and
Cepeda
and
the Alou brothers.
And the Alou brothers.
Tito Puente.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the one, that's, to be quite honest, and of course, Mason McCovey. So that's why they always had that following, because they embraced the non-white fans. Look, the Dodgers fans, look, we all know the stereotypical thing about the Dodger fans. They come in the third inning and leave in the seventh inning, so they can get home in the same time. And now it's not as bad as before, but it took them a while before they became somewhat fixtures with especially with the Latino community. And again, to Fernando, because they had Hispanic players or what have you. But Fernando, in a sense, was their, this might be a bit mid, but I think you'll understand, he was their Roberto in the sense where he was that symbol for their Hispanic fans. And to bring it all full circle, the Giants and Dodger rivalry has always been one of respect. Even when Juan Marichal went upside Johnny Roseboro's head. The thing with the Dodgers and the Padres, it's been more like, don't hit me,
big
Mike.
It's been more
like how the Cowboys look at their rivalry with the Eagles. They don't look at the Eagles as a rival.
They're just somebody that they play. They don't have that respect.
Now, Mike, you can attest. The first thing that a baby from Philly is taught out the womb is Dallas sucks.
That's true. Pretty much. They don't say dad. They say Dallas sucks.
Yeah, Dallas sucks. They're like, that's my boy.
I just had a wicked thought. Can you imagine Dodgers and Giants stay put? Can you imagine Barry Bonds as a New York Giant hitting those home runs the way he did?
Ooh,
oh my God!
And see,
here's an even crazier irony. After the Giants released him, you got to think that the Dodgers were like mulling the idea, we ought to bring that motherfucker over here just to piss them off. Don't even get me started with that, man. Because I was like, the crazy thing is even now he says that was the biggest mistake I ever made. Not so much of staying with the Mets, but going to L.A.
Yeah.
Because it just fueled more of his drug habit. But see,
you look better at the Yankee uniform than the Dodgers uniform.
Well, remember, now, do you also remember, he did some time with the Giants, too, remember?
That's right.
If you ever want to, there's a list. I forget which one had like a somebody had. He did. I think he did like a half a season with the Giants. I know he definitely.
He
is one of those few guys. No, hey, go to baseballreference.com again. Yeah, of course. Yeah, he did time with the Giants. Absolutely, he did. Yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. You know. Gary, I wouldn't lie to you. I can lie about a lot of things, like my hairline and my waistline, but I wouldn't lie to you about that. But in the Dodgers' mind, they don't have a rivalry with the Padres. The Padres are just another team on the schedule.
Now,
with this basic 2.5-year rental with Soto, even if they win one World Series, it'll be worth it.
It won't matter to the Dodgers.
Oh no, it won't matter to the Dodgers. But see, look, this is about. Put it this way. If you've basically been a Padres fan from day one, there's only maybe two other guys that they've had like this in their organization.
One, of course,
is Anthony Gwynn, no doubt.
Yeah.
And the only other guy was Dave Winfield. Randy Jones be damned. Nate Colburn be damned. Those are their two guys. No, even Ozzy, because they cut out. Ozzy wasn't even there long enough to really be.
No,
whatever.
That's right.
They cut him loose. You know?
Yeah,
but now put it this way: for the very first time in like basically forever, there's a Padre fan saying, "We may be able to beat them red, white, and blue sons of bitches." And they've never been able to say that. But even with all of that being said, they still have to prove it. Because at the end of the day, if they're going to, put it this way, their lineup is great. But what usually winds up being the equalizer, put it this way, they will go as far as Darvish and the kid, the pitcher who they just gave the $100 million for, the hometown kid, they will go as far as those two take them. That'll be the lineup is just and remember, Tatis is still trying to get back. So you add Tatis in there, then that gives them another element. But see, are they going to be able to, here's the thing. Are they going to be able to win 9-7, 8? They're not going to be able to do that. You can do that during the regular season, but you're not going to be able to do that in the postseason, and that's their problem. See, and look, the Dodgers are in their head. The Dodgers have been in their head basically from day one. And the thing about it is, what's going to be more important for them? Beating the Dodgers or winning a World Series, because
they could, if everything plays out right, they could do both. Because and to me, in a sense, the Padres right now, the Padres are basically where the Red Sox were pre-killing the curse. They're pre-killing the curse. Now they got to go out and prove it. They have to go out and prove it. And they basically have got this half season and two more years to, in a sense, get this right. Unless, because now if they make the commitment to Soto and say, hey, he's going to be our guy, then they can work on it. But see, right now their window is 2.5 years.
Yes.
Their whole thing is we basically gave up our top prospects.
I think this year is to get this game to play on next year and make that run.
Yeah. It's you know, considering what's out there. But see, they, if nothing else, they put themselves into the conversation now because, look, you can make the argument that it's a four-team race for trying to win the NL pennant. The Dodgers, the Braves, the Mets, and the Padres. You can make that argument for those four teams. I would say Milwaukee, but Milwaukee put, you know, they let Hader go.
They played their
small market cards and we can't sign him. And that's another 2-hour conversation in of itself.
Don't get me started with that.
I'll ask this to you guys. Do you look at San Diego as a large market team? Or a small market team?
After that last week, I say it's a small market.
Gary, what do you say?
Small?
Yeah. And see, here's the thing. Now, how do you look at Atlanta? A small market? Large market?
Large.
For when they are large.
Large.
Yeah. See, I think, me personally, I think they're both large markets. Both of them are large markets.
People get the misconception of San Diego.
Yeah, I know
San Diego
is sort of like
a suburb of LA. Whatever LA does, San Diego does.
I get that, but you know the one thing the Padres have going for them now that they never had before?
Okay.
Think about it. What's the one thing the Padres have that they didn't have from day one?
Well, they got Batty. They got Eddie now.
No. It's we mentioned it the other night. They are San Diego's team. No. It's this simple. They're San Diego's team. The Chargers are gone. The Rockets are gone. They have the city all to themselves. That's something they've never had before. And if it's done correctly, now, I think, because they were able to move into the place that they're at now and they were prominent enough so that because remember, this isn't the first time that they went for it. Remember, about 4 or 5 years ago, they won the off season but forgot to win the regular season. Now they've done it again. The stakes are a little bit higher. They had to give up a little bit more. But the thing is now, they are like Tupac. All eyes are on them now.
True that.
All eyes are on them. They've never had this. They're probably, you know, put it this way. I'm sure that their TV contract come next year is either going to be renewed or the – put it this way. Folks, that the 17 people that got cable in San Diego, guess what? Your bill's about to blow up.
I almost got a job down here, but then they go charges.
Yeah.
And I look at,
That's a hell of a community. If you can do it.
Yeah.
Right now, this is, I don't think this is hyperbole. These are the next 2 months are probably the most important months in the history of this franchise.
True.
They don't necessarily have to win the World Series this year.
But as we invoke
the Butt Sisters for the umpteenth time, if they're at least, put it this way, if they can knock the Dodgers out of the postseason this year, but not get to the World Series, I think every Padre fan would buy that. Knock the Dodgers off. Oh hell!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. I got the rest. We overdrive today, boy.
Plus, I got a second game of a doubleheader that I need to do my Atlanta hex on too. So yeah,
you
guys,
tomorrow night for the Jackson 5 and the 5 stair steps.
Thank you, man. Good show.
Don't mess it up, Tito. It's all on you, Tito. Take care, guys.
You're back, Cole. Have a good week.